March to June? You see, because of Pittsburgh's hilly terrain, tornadoes pretty much never happen there. In fact, there's only been one that I can remember in my lifetime, and I was nowhere near where it happened, but I heard about it on the news for days because it just happened to touch down in an amusement park. So this event, and the horror stories that they show occasionally on the Weather Channel, and the movie Twister, and The Wizard of Oz, that's pretty much my entire knowledge base about tornadoes. So my first summer in Indiana, when I heard the tornado sirens going off for the first time, I absolutely panicked. I was home alone, and I lived in a second-story apartment, and I did not have one single windowless room. Not one. I knocked on my downstairs neighbor Milton's door. He wasn't home. Neither were my next-door neighbors, which was a pity because theirs was the only house that I knew of that actually had a basement. So I threw on my shoes, and I ran down to the other block to my friend Amy's place. Now, Amy, she had lived just about everywhere. She lived in California, and Tennessee, and Germany, and Honduras, and she'd been living in Indiana for a good while longer than I had. And in pretty much any situation, it was safe to say that if I didn't know what to do, Amy would. I called her on the way and I begged her to be home as if that would help. And she was. And I begged her to let me in, and of course she did. She told me to have a seat on her couch and she made me tea. And she explained to me what signs to look for to know that a tornado was getting close. The green look in the sky, the silence before the storm, all of those things. She told me how to protect myself in the event that one day I wouldn't be able to get out of my apartment, to get into my bathtub and pull a mattress over top of me, those sorts of things. She let me stay until the storm was well past gone. So Gabriel wasn't the only angel to tell a scared young woman, don't be afraid. Amy was one too. But Mary, I would say, had a lot more to be afraid of than I did. The tornado wasn't actually anywhere near where we were. And it wasn't much of an event anyway. Even the mere presence of an angel for Mary could have been terrifying for her. Angels are described throughout the Old Testament as these otherworldly alien beings. Sometimes they look mostly like people, and sometimes they were described as flaming wheels covered in eyes, and sometimes they have wings coming out of places you would not expect wings to come from. And on top of Gabriel's appearance, which we can't know for sure because a description of him isn't given anywhere in Scripture, there was this apocryphal tale, this kind of campfire story that was really popular in Mary's time. This story involved an angel named Tobit who fell in love with a human woman. And every time this woman would try to get married, Tobit would kill the husband right before the ceremony out of jealousy. So, think of it this way, it's kind of like, you know how there's all these cautionary tales and urban legends involving lovers' lanes? So imagine that you're a teenager, and you and your sweetheart are parked out of the local lovers' lane, and all of a sudden some strange man comes and knocks on your car window. You would feel pretty much exactly how Mary is feeling in that moment. You are finding yourself right in the middle of one of those stories people are always telling. She is herself in the middle of what sounds just like the scary stories she's heard around countless campfires and get-togethers her whole young life. So if I were Mary, I think right off the bat I'd maybe be afraid for Joseph's safety, given the appearance of this angel to a young engaged woman like myself, given that everybody knows how angels get jealous enough to kill so they can have human women. Everybody knows that. So the angel hasn't even opened his mouth yet, and we already have every reason to be terrified of Mary. And then we get to trust. There are other Bible characters who we might think, on paper, would be much more likely to respond with the sort of dignity and grace and wisdom and faith that Mary displays. And yet, more often than not, the ones who you would expect to know better don't. Well, take Zechariah, for example. Just before this section in Luke, we're told about the high priest. And when he's given the news that his wife, Mary's cousin, Elizabeth, would have a baby in her old age, well, he just doesn't believe it. But Mary, a nobody, from a nobody town, a young pregnant teenager, accepts what the angel has told her. She gets it. And she follows willingly in the exact same way that Zechariah doesn't. She's never given a reason. She never asks for a reason. Maybe because why me is a waste of time kind of a question to ask God when God calls on you. I want to circle back around to this notion of blessing, because if Mary is blessed, then maybe we as a culture need to rethink our understanding of what the word blessing even means. We have this idea that blessing is synonymous with comfort or prosperity, that God blesses us with wealth, and the more wealth we have, the more godly we must be, or something along those lines. But as far as we know, Mary, well, she never had two coins to rub together, and neither did Jesus, so that can't be what blessing is about. We cross that off the list. Sometimes we think that blessing is about having good health or having lots of natural talents, but there really isn't any evidence that that's what the angel means either. It seems when you look at it that blessing isn't about things at all. Blessing seems to be about relationship. So to say that somebody is blessed by God is to say that a relationship has been established and recognized. Mary is blessed by God because she has a heart that trusts that whatever is happening, God is here, and God loves, and God is pulling all of creation towards something better. Mary really understood what it means to be blessed, and she wasn't fooled for one second by the cheap counterfeit idea that all blessing is wish fulfillment. She never fell into the trap that so many of us fall into so much of the time. Just listen to her song that Ginny read for us earlier today. Listen to her hunger and her thirst for justice. I can hear her singing this song, her baby in her arms, or playing at her feet, or all grown up and building a table with his dad while she sings. Over and over, this song is the background music of Jesus' childhood. This song about how God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly, how God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. What Jesus knew about justice, he learned from his mom. There is blessed peace to be found in accepting reality and God's plans to change reality. Mary fully accepted that what was happening to her was happening to her. But in her song, we see that she also rejected her reality. She rejected that kings ate to their heart's content, but the poor were hungry. She rejected that some had all the power.